have reason to rejoice today. A lot of reasons to rejoice today, but one that I want to mention before the lesson is that yesterday at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Lane Hammer was baptized into our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is good news. Amen. And it's just wonderful to add another one to the kingdom. And watch her go down into the waters of baptism and be washed the forgiveness of her sins. It was a blessing to be part of that. And we just want to just express our appreciation for Greg and Lauren and the family. And we appreciate their example. And pray for the teens. I think Lane is with the rest of the teens, correct, Greg, this morning. They went to camp, so pray that they will have a safe trip there and a safe trip back. I also want to share something before the lesson this morning. I received three wonderful little blessings this morning, probably more somewhere, but they're the same, and I want to read them to you. I got them from some of the kids here in the congregation, and I think they made these for me during class, and it just blesses my life this morning. Dear Kurt, sometimes I feel scared and all alone. Thank you for teaching me that God's word can light my way. And I love you kids. I love all the kids here. Thank you for teaching me about God's word, that it can light our way. And you encourage us. You teach us about the kindness of Jesus. We see that in you. And we love all the children here in the congregation. What a blessing it is to be part of this family. What an absolute blessing. I want to talk to you this morning about a topic I think is very, very serious, one that we all face. At various times in our life, you might have called it something different. Probably the generations back didn't use this terminology, but you'll know what we're talking about, the topic of burnout. I'm sure everybody, matter of fact, I know everybody at some point, except mothers, you know. Mothers never face any burnout, right, moms? That's a lie, right? Moms, we know you face burnout. You work very hard. You show an example to your children and to your husband and to your communities. And we look for that. But burnout is a reality. Go type it online. Go online, type in burnout and see what you find out. It's closely related to a lot of other things. Stress will be in there. Anxiety will be in there. You know, all the worry, all those other things. And there's different levels of burnout. Not all of us have hit all the levels, and we don't want to hit all the levels of what they call burnout. It's a very serious thing. And the reason why I want to share this with you is because I've had times in my life where I've hit this, and recently I've had one, a little setback, and it's nobody's fault. It's not one thing in life. It's not like somebody did something to me and I hit burnout, or I'm upset with somebody and I hit burnout. It's not it. Matter of fact, a lot of times, it's something that just all of a sudden creeps up on you, and you don't even realize it. Matter of fact, things can be going pretty smooth. You've heard the phrase, the straw that broke the camel's back. And it could be one small little thing that normally you can handle, but for whatever reason at this point, you can't handle it anymore. And what it is you've hit what they call the classic case of burnout. And I hope you really think about this morning. There's different levels, as I've said. I've labeled it, and this is from me, just my own thoughts as I'm working through this. There's what I call basic burnout. That's what we all hit at some point. We're tired, we're exhausted, we've worked hard, and we need a little break. That's a type of burnout. All of us have been there that work as we get older. Any adult has faced that, and young people do too, to a degree. But then there's what we can call full-blown burnout, and there's different levels of that as well. That's where, and some of you can relate to this, where you can begin to lose the desire to some degree to even want to carry on. We begin to despair, become discouraged, and even though it's sunny outside, it's not sunny inside. And we have a hard time even wanting, having the desire to carry on. And we're depressed, and we're lonely, and we're despairing. We're dark, we're down. And if you take this to the full degree, you lose your life. You lose your life. People have been hospitalized as a result of this. Diseases have been developed as a result of this. It's a very serious thing for us. What causes these things, though? What causes us to get to a point where we hit burnout? And how from God's Word? Can we go to God's Word and can we find some counsel, some guidance and some help for us so that we can prevent this burnout? Or if we get to that point, we now know what we need to do. Sometimes we get so down, we don't. We need somebody's help. You ever been so down in your thoughts you needed somebody to help you lift your thoughts out of that despair? That's the idea of burnout. But what causes it and how do we avoid it? And that's what I want to discuss this morning. I've got 4 points with you. And there's no... a lot of these are just my thoughts, some research I've done, looking at God's Word and working on it in my own heart and in my own life. Let me start with this point, number one. Burnout happens when we put the brakes on a balanced life. Some of you know what I mean by a balanced life, where we become unbalanced in our life. All of life becomes centered only on one thing. Unless that is God, it's not healthy. We know that we're to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God number one. But typically we live an unbalanced life and we don't put God first. And we put everything we've got into one thing. And what's one of the main areas of unbalance in our lives? Men, we know this, our work. And we can become extremely unbalanced. And you know, you begin to head down the road of burnout because of that unbalance. Life and I'm not here to talk against work. You know I know, and God's Word gives us instruction on work. If we don't take care of our own, we're worse than an unbeliever. We talked about that in class this morning. If you don't work, you don't eat. God's Word gives us wisdom and teaches us that we need to work. But that's not all that life is about. And many of us become extremely unbalanced. Work, 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 and then more work is not a balanced life. Because you know as well as I do that it begins to affect other areas of your life. And it can begin to affect your very mental attitude and your health. Somebody says, hard work never hurt anybody. Go and do some research about hard work. It has hurt people. To some degree, it has killed people, taken the lives. Go read about slaves who were overworked. How about the stress and the load that is developed through time? And then all the other effects that domino in your life when you put too much emphasis on work. I was reading a book. It's a good one. It's called God Rested, But Ministers Don't. And it's got great material in it. J.J. Turner, he's one of my mentors, he wrote this book. Been a preacher for over 50 years. He's preached all over the world. He's written many books. He was the preacher where I grew up. He's started schools. He's been the director of the preaching school that I graduated from. He's now an elder and a preacher and started a preaching school where he's at, and he's in his 70s. So he's got quite a load, a workload. But he's got some great information in his book. Listen to what he said. 2:30 in the morning on Labor Day weekend, I woke up with a weird feeling. The right side of my face felt like it was blasted by a blowtorch. Was it a dream? I thought I would shake it off by going to the bathroom for a drink. And when I took the first step after getting out of bed, I collapsed to the floor. As I tried to get up, I couldn't because the left side of my body from head to toe was paralyzed. My wife asked me, what's wrong? And in slurred speech, I tried to answer her. It was panic time. After 5 days in the hospital, so he'd taken to the emergency. After 5 days in the hospital, I went home with a stroke diagnosis, TIA, and a handful of medications. The doctors determined, stress related because of work. And this was a healthy guy. Of course, he neglected some of those things, and he talks about it in his book, because he wasn't balanced. He was being unbalanced in his life. Be careful stop and reflect on your life. Am I unbalanced? We can be unbalanced in our relationships. I know I have been. That's what I'm preaching to myself. Unbalanced in our relationships, beginning with God. I'll call it neglect. And when I look back, as I reflect on this last moment of burnout, it's been neglect. It's been neglect up here. Unbalance up here. And I didn't even see it coming. Begin to neglect God. Begin to neglect my relationship with my wife. Or you might with your husband. Or we neglect our relationship with our children. And even our relationship with one another in the church. And we can isolate ourselves. If you find yourself wanting to be isolated all the time, stop. You may be headed towards burnout. Second point. Burnout happens when we put the brakes on consistent positive thinking. And I don't mean positive thinking from the world's standpoint. That's good stuff. But thinking upon the Word of God, the positive things. Has God given you anything positive in His Word? When was the last time you really reflected in your mind of how God views you personally? That He cares for you. That He sent His Son to die on the cross, and that through that your sins are nailed to the cross. He loves you. He loves you. He's forgiven you in Christ Jesus. Do we remind ourselves personally of those things? Burnout happens when we put the brakes on consistent positive thinking. And if we neglect taking care of our thoughts, you are headed towards burnout. Don't neglect your thoughts. Proverbs 4:23, the writer says, watch over your heart with all diligence. Diligence. You keep at it. You watch over your heart with all diligence. Why? Here's your heart. Because from it flows the springs of life. And then the truth, and it's kind of frightening when we stop to think about it. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinks within himself, so is he. It's very frightening for some of us because we are what we think. We believe we become whatever we tell ourselves. Man has been said to be the sum total of what he thinks. We got to watch our thoughts, for if we neglect taking care of our thoughts, our minds, and eventually our bodies will neglect taking care of us. Watch over your heart with all diligence. For from it flow the springs of life. I want to share with you a book, if you ever are interested in this kind of thinking, this idea that I'm presenting this morning. Go get a book by a gentleman named, he's a acclaimed psychologist, Shad Helmstetter is his name. It's a small little book, and it's called What to Say When I Talk to Myself. And it has some great insight and wisdom. Listen to what he said. Leading behavior researchers have told us that as much as 70, and this was written in the 90s, so some of the percentages have changed a little bit. But leading behavior researchers have told us that as much as 77% of everything we think is negative. Are you monitoring your thoughts? 77% of what I put in my mind and think on is negative, counterproductive, and works against us. At the same time, medical researchers have said that as much as 75% of all illnesses, notice, and this is serious, self-induced. That doesn't mean every illness is. But 75% of illnesses are self-induced, which means they result from our thinking. If correct, that means as much as 75% or more of our programming is the wrong kind. What did Paul say in Romans 12:2 and following? Don't be conformed to the world. He said, but you be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. That's through our what we think on, isn't it? We transform our thinking. And when we do that, it helps us to avoid burnout. Philippians 2:5-8, have the mind of Christ in you. And I'll tell you what, church, I am striving for this every day. My goal, I have goals in my faith, my family, finances, this is my own little thing, health, homes, and my home and my hobbies. my ultimate goal is to have the mind of Christ in everything. That's hard. The attitude. Remember, although he existed in the form of God, didn't regard himself as equal to God, equality with God, a thing to even be grasped, but he emptied himself, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross, right? That's Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 8. But have this attitude in yourselves, and we're going to, in a few minutes, go look at some of these the thoughts that the Word of God prescribes for us to think on. But have the mind of Christ in you. Don't neglect your thoughts. Please, this week, take care of your thoughts. Thirdly, and this is a sticker for me right here, burnout happens when we refuse to put the brakes on expectations that are too high. Not all of you do this to yourself. Some of us beat ourselves up. Anybody here with me? Anybody expect too much? Doesn't mean we shouldn't have some expectation. It helps drive us, motivate us, push us to do greater things. But sometimes we can expect too much. I'm not Jesus. And neither are you. And we can't be. Praise God, we don't have to be, right? He went to the cross and dealt with all that for us. I have to stop striving sometimes and wait. And it's there that I begin to learn to trust. That I trust God will take care of things. He has promised that He will do that. But when I refuse to put brakes on expectations that are too high, and man, I can expect what I cannot do. And that's not healthy. We need to take care of ourselves. And if you're one that does it temporarily for a period of time, lower your expectation on yourself. God doesn't want you to expect too much out of yourself. He's in control, not us. Who gives the growth, according to Paul in Corinthians? God gives the growth, not me, not you. And think of Jesus, where he said, the great commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? What was the next part of that? You love your neighbor. But then he says, you love your neighbor as yourself. See, burnout happens when we lose sight of ourself, too. We begin to neglect who we are in the eyes of God. And if I neglect me, I can't help you. Reminds me of the illustration of, most of you have been on an airplane. Before you take off, that screen pops down. The flight attendant tells you what to do in case of an emergency landing, right? And they say, first thing you do is you put your mask on first. You don't put your kids on first. You put your mask on first. And we have to take care of our own lives spiritually, mentally, and physically. Because the physical aspect is a part of it as well, if we are going to be balanced. And this is all about balance, isn't it? Because we are also told, don't look out for your own personal interests only. But also, you look out for the interests of each other. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. And this last point, and this is the last point that I want to present on the area of burnout. One that I neglected and I'm working very hard on. And I think it's one of the greatest lessons and insights I have ever learned in my life that has helped pull me out of difficult times. And that is, burnout happens when we refuse to put the brakes on our negative self-talk. This ties directly in with what we think. Begins to go in the area of what's that communication going on in my head. And if you aren't watching that communication, what goes on in your head, you are programming yourself, and you're programming yourself for a fall, for burnout. I mean, think of all the things that we say. I've heard it said, be careful what you tell yourself because eventually you will believe it. We believe what we are told. This is powerful stuff. Someone said, what the mind can conceive and believe, we can achieve. Well, think of this in terms of something negative. You conceive something, you believe it, you'll achieve it. Oh boy, the Think of the limits, the great things we can do, the success we could have in life if it was towards the right thing. But then there's the opposite, the negative side of that as well. Be careful what you tell yourself too, because you just might start believing it. You just might start acting that way. This is especially true with the little ones. Moms and dads and grandparents, we all know we need to repent. I'm ashamed sometimes when I look back and some of the negative feeding that I've done. I'm ashamed of it. Chet Helmstetter in his book went on to say, what adults tell us as children has an incredibly important effect on us. Mom and dads, hear this. It forms what we believe about what most of what is going on around us and almost everything that we come to believe about ourselves. I want to give you two illustrations, a positive and a negative. This was out of his book. Of course, again, this was years back. So some of the material has changed. Michael, who at the age of 6, often visited an elderly gentleman next door for afternoon chats, was safely out of sight but within hearing distance at the top of the stairs one evening and ready for bed when the neighbors had stopped by. Little Michael overheard the old man tell his mother that Michael was very creative. He knew that he would grow up. He knew that he would grow up to do great things that were creative. Today, decades later, Mike Vance has been dean of Walt Disney University. More recently, through his personal consulting and his work with major corporations and organizations throughout the world, has gone on to become perhaps the premier creativity trainer in the United States today because of a seed. I know this is true in my preaching, and there's a lot of people that are influences in my life. I never dreamed of this, and I'm not a great preacher. I'm not trying, but I'm just trying to show what happens when a positive seed is planted. I remember my youth minister told me one day, he said, you make a good minister. Nobody else had ever told me that. I never even knew what a minister was. I didn't care what a minister was, but it was a seed. What a positive seed will do. And we need to be positive to our young people around here. But then there's the negative side, isn't there? Children have grown up hearing things that I can't repeat here. Shame on the parents. Some of you have been told things by your daddies or your mommies that you should have never been told. How many kids have grown up being told, you aren't going to amount to much, and guess what? It doesn't have to be this way, but typically they grow up believing they're not going to amount to much. Because somebody decided they were going to be negative and plant that ugly seed in that young person's heart. How many kids are grown up to be told they're stupid? You can't make any decision right, you know, in a moment of frustration. We need to really, really watch our thoughts. Helmstetter in his book went on to say, out of those early years, each of us formed a composite picture of ourselves. It made the difference whether the picture of ourselves, which we created, were true or not. It didn't matter. Even if it was not true, you believed it formed the picture you live it. Our experiences, our acceptance of what we heard from others and what we told ourselves became the foundation for the mental programming which directs us today. But I got to thinking this week, where could we be? Where could we get as a church, as a family, in our sports, in our jobs, if we reprogrammed ourselves the way God wants us to be programmed? Whatever you do in word or deed, you do all in the name of the Lord. You're working with the tools, you do it with everything you got. You're on the field, you do it with whatever we do in life. That's positive feedback of ourselves. It's taking God's word and putting in our minds and reprogramming our minds. Here's the good news. With all the negative things of life, we are in control of our thoughts. I didn't say it would be easy to change your thoughts, but you are in control of your thoughts. And you could leave here today and you could begin today. And for me, I have to do this every day. You think, Josh, I was just born a preacher, right? And no, not at all. I have to program myself. I have to think on right things every day. I have to control what I say to myself. Because research has found that our minds are no different than computers. How do you think they were invented? From the mind. Same thing. You program it and we program ourselves. What are we programming with? Philippians 4. Turn over there and we're going to close in just a moment. You're wondering, well, what do I think on? Let me give you some themes to think on. Let the Spirit give you some instruction on what to think on. And work on these every day. Monitor your attitude. Monitor what you say to yourself. Philippians chapter 4, Paul begins, or he states in this section, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Obviously, our communication with God is at the top while we deal with this, and always in our Christian walk. Notice what he says in verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You have protection. Finally, brethren, here it is. Whatever is true, that's what you put up here. Whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute. If there is any excellence, and if anything that is worthy to be praised, let your mind dwell on these things. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and notice, here's the promise, and a God of peace shall be with you. No burnout there. Anxiety is gone. The real cares and the worries are gone because the peace of God is within you. Because you are dwelling and setting your mind on the right things. On the right things. So how do we avoid this burnout? Begin, number one, by being balanced in your life. Try to be balanced. With God, your relationship, and your marriages, with your work, with your children, be balanced. Secondly, be consistent in your positive thinking. Monitor your thoughts. Thirdly, lower your expectations if you're one that puts too much pressure on yourself. Spend time lowering your expectations. And finally, say the right things to yourself. Use the Scripture. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world, right? Because you believe. You believe. And so that's the direction you live, and that's the direction you go. That's the lesson this morning. I hope you have been encouraged or there's been something to think about. Tyler's going to lead us in an invitation song. We open up the invitation for anybody. Maybe you need encouragement. Maybe you're at burnout and you need prayers. Don't be too prideful to come. We'll pray for you. We'll be here to encourage you. Maybe you're ready to put on the Lord Jesus in baptism, to walk by faith in Him, to be washed of your sins, to be added to the church this day, to be those who are part of heaven itself, the promise of eternal life. Whatever your need be, will you come as we stand, as we sing.